Rick, I wanted to get this to you because it is amusing. It's kind of cute. What I'm about to raise with you is, and you'll know exactly when I bring it up what I mean. When children learn how to cuss,
sure.
Just put it there. All right.
Yeah.
So you are no stranger to this space.
No, I am not.
Neither am I.
Salty.
You know, it's one thing Catholics know how to do, and that is
yes.
It's, you know, near my God to thee. I don't know. But so you've got now Democrats taking out pages from your book and my book where they're finding a fuller expression.
Indeed.
And I only raise it because it is so uncharacteristic that it stands out. You've got Jasmine Crockett, who's been on the forefront, the leading edge of this. That's my girl. I love it because she came into Congress saying, I'm not playing this game the way you assholes play it, because we're dealing with people who are dangerous and we're going to deal with that. You know, she, after Trump's joint address last week, she said, somebody slap me and wake me the fuck up because I'm ready to get on with it. And then you had a few days later, this sort of cavalcade of expression by Democrats who are now sounding a little bit more salty. And I guess in one sense, I like that because it you know, people like, oh, you shouldn't cuss. I'm like, well, you know, sometimes that's the only word that describes your action. It's, you know, that's the only word that describes when I call you a motherfucker. There's a reason for that, right?
You know, it's like... there's that great movie from the 90s, Gross Point Blank, where John Cusack plays an assassin and his wannabe girlfriend says, how can you do that? How can you kill those people? And he says, you know, if I show up at your door, you probably did something to bring me there. If I'm saying motherfucker, people probably did something to bring me there.
Right.
This is no longer a world where I think the fake political niceties of my honorable colleague stuff,
right,
as I like to call it, exists anymore. I mean, and would we be in a better world if we all lived in this more dignified and restrained space? In a lot of ways, yeah. I honestly believe that in a lot of ways. But we also live in a moment where if you don't call out the bullshit that's going on around you, and sometimes that bullshit is an obscenity in and of itself. And as a writer and as a speaker, I think there's a place for that right now. I think there's a moment for that right now. And and we are in a fucking mess. We are in a place where the world is careening towards political and economic and military disaster because fucking idiots are running our government.
Right.
I mean, we should say that. We should be direct and real about what's happening, because what's happening is not great. And people who are like trying to disguise it and say, oh, well, of course the normal people around Trump, well, they'll take care of them. Don't worry, Marco and Susie Wiles will cover all of these problems. No, they won't. It ain't happening, y'all.
And just like the courts aren't going to save you. There's so many pieces that have been broken at this point. Yes. And there are undoubtedly more that will be broken. But given the ones that have been broken so far, you already know, folks, how this feels. And you have also expressed it in a way, to Rick's point, that is much more real. The niceties are being stripped away. And that's okay, because I think the more we let these people know exactly how we feel, the more strength I think we will find in fighting and resisting this trend line. I don't want people to go merrily into that good night and then wake up the next day and see that their rights have been stripped away. So yeah, I'm calling out some motherfuckers up front. And that's the part of this that, I mean, if there's a theme in this conversation, it is one of, you know, moving towards the light, moving towards those points of light where citizens start to express exactly what's happening to them responding to that and leveling up to your point, using the word, the appropriate word, the assholes who are running our government, and letting them know, you know, it's time we wipe our ass and clean ourselves up and get rid of you. You know, I mean, it's just,
look, I mean, Michael, and I want that family of a veteran who took his own life at a town hall meeting.
Yeah.
I want that person looking Congressman Smith, who's in a soft red district, right in the fucking eye and saying, my brother's dead because of you. I want that mom whose kids depend on school lunches to look Marjorie Taylor Greene right in the fucking eye and say, my kids are going hungry because of you. I want these people to face the real emotions of human beings for the damage and the harm they are causing. Because if we don't have that, if we don't have that sense of connection to what's really happening to people, then it's easy to think, oh yeah, oh, it's just Twitter. That's not the real world right now.
It's not the real world.
The real world is a painful place for a lot of people, and it's going to get much worse. And it's getting much worse because of the decisions being made by Donald Trump and Elon Musk, and people should not pull a punch.
They shouldn't. And I'm glad again to see that they're beginning to appreciate that. You know, like I said, you know, my brother who manages a number of folks in his business, along with their senior team, just had to lay off 300 people because of Elon Musk. It's that simple. It's not complicated. They didn't lay them off because they were inefficient or that they cost them too much or whatever internal.
Because they were woke libtards.
They're libtards. They were fired because one man decided here in Washington that the contracts that they serviced, the work that they did for the federal government was no longer of any value. Mm-hmm. And so they just decided we're done. And that disruption to families coupled with, I mean, put together the people that you just described,
right?
A husband, wife, and kids, you know, where the husband, because of the stress and strains of losing benefits as a veteran or losing work because of these actions, commits suicide at a town hall meeting. The wife then has to deal with that, plus the fact that the school lunch program that their kids are in has been suspended or ended. And now she's got to figure out how, at least for, you know, the short term, she's going to feed her family. Then she's living with the threat that the job she's in may go away without any notice because of the business she's in is tied to somehow to a federal contractor. Even if it isn't, she could be a real estate in a realtor, and the housing market in her community is now disrupted, and people are having to sell their homes, and people can't buy home. That's where America is right now.
This is unintended consequences are always a bitch. But the scope of the unintended consequences here is so large, it's so crazy, and they were warned, they were told, if you do this, bad things happen. Like there's another sector here, one that I think a lot of MAGA folks would ordinarily go, oh, I love them. 85% of the money of the $135 billion we've provided for Ukraine, 85% of that money was spent here in America on American defense contractors making ammunition so that Ukraine could survive.
Thank you.
And now every one of those jobs is about to go away. Those are good paying, blue collar and gray collar jobs. Those jobs are going away. Congratulations. You played yourselves.
Yeah.
Because nothing in that kind of space. Trump's not going to bail them out. I've told there's no money. He can't bail them out. So it's just the degree of stupidity and obscenity in this is
you, you, you open the door to Ukrainian, and I'm glad you did one. I'm glad you did it that way, because, you know, all of this noise about, oh, you know, we spend, you know, why are we spending all this money? You know, hey, dumbass, the money was spent here. We built the ammunitions that they needed.
Right.
Right. That's where the money went. The money didn't go to some foreign bank account for them to access.
Right. No, it didn't go to George Soros, you moron.
It didn't go to George Soros. Right. Yeah. George Soros is the only look. This is the irony here. Republicans only have one billionaire that they always talk. Their go-to billionaire is George Soros.
Yeah.
Donald Trump displayed an array of them behind him at his inauguration.
Uh-huh. including people who are worth more and have spent more, e.g. Elon Musk, than George Soros.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't want a liberal billionaire interfering in my elections. You shouldn't want any billionaire interfering in your fucking elections if that's the way you feel.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, good.
But back to Ukraine. Where do you see things there after the slapdown of Zelensky in the Oval Office, which was probably it will go down in history as one of, if not the lowest moment for an American administration.
Insanely shameful at every level. I think we're going to face for a long time. Because suddenly we're not a reliable ally, we're not a friend, we're not a comrade in arms anymore to some of these countries. Now we are at best the crazy uncle who either beats the shit out of you or brings you presents. And this isn't a place where
or worse, where we should brings you presents and then beats the shit out of you.
Right, exactly. this is not a great spot for America to be in. And while they don't understand it, while a lot of these MAGAs don't understand why this is a problem and why this is bad, you know, we have a world at risk because of these assholes. And you know, how has Putin rewarded Trump since Trump buckled for him? By increasing his attacks on civilian targets. What did the foreign minister say yesterday on Monday? We have no interest in a ceasefire. Okay. Well, that sounds like it's working out great there.
Right.
Donald.
Right.
How about you and Marco and Steve Witkoff find another way to, you know, tell Putin his ass smells like honeysuckle? Because it's not working out.
What I find interesting. Because I love the politics of relationships, because that's what this town is all about. It is built on relationships. It is the currency of the realm, despite
100%.
It's all about the relationship. So one of the relationships I find the most amusing to watch is that of Trump's and Marco Rubio, because Marco. And there's so much sound, yes, about him in Trump, but in this one particular space where he has been very clear since 2014 about what Russia represents in this, what they're doing, the danger that they represent, the importance of America's resilience against Russia to stand as Reagan would have us stand. In defiance of their expansionist vision of the globe. And to be, yes, people hate it, but in this instance, it's necessary. The policeman that will check them, to now have, particularly on Ukraine, to have Trump have him out there being the architect of its demise and destruction, knowing that that's not where Marco stands. That's not what Marco believes. Marco doesn't believe any of the shit that's coming out of his mouth right now relative to what's happening to this country, because we know he doesn't. But yet the drive to be the secretary, to be in power, to have power, just so overwhelms the senses that you're willing to get, allow yourself to be punked. Trump enjoys every time Marco's out there saying and defend, saying stuff about and defending Russia.
There's nothing
amazing.
There's nothing on God's green earth that Donald Trump loves more than watching people humiliate themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And Marco, who is not a dumb guy.
No,
he's currently engaged in the most obscene degree of self-harm that I think I've ever witnessed among damn near anybody. It is vile what he's letting Trump do, what he's accepting as his fate. Look, being number four from the presidency and $4.25 gets you a small latte at Starbucks.
A small one.
But the idea in Marco's head apparently is that somehow he's going to play this like right up the middle, and he's going to be a loyal Trump guy, and then suddenly in 2028 he's going to run for president again. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Marco's self image of a guy who believed in talking about liberty and freedom and against the scourge of dictatorship based on his family's history and his narrative. Mm-hmm. And I've known Marco a very long time. This guy has become a laughingstock because, you know, they know what he's doing. He's perfectly aware what he's doing with Trump right now. Marco absolutely knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows how wrong it is, and he wants power so badly. He wants to retain it and have that possibility of a future where he's the president, that he will literally do or say anything. And it is, at that point, you know, look, what's your soul worth? I don't know, but Marco sold his cheap.
Yeah, it is a profoundly disappointing thing to watch, because like you, I've known Marco since he was Speaker of the House in Florida.
And, exactly.
And, you know, gave him a job at GOPAC when I was chairman, and he finished up and I said, look, dude, do you want to stay in politics? Let's get you involved and position you. Because my argument to Marco back in the day was, make a run for governor. That's where you want to be.
I think that's what he should have done.
If he'd come out and just made that turn as opposed to the one he did, he would be in a very different place today. 100%. Probably would have been president in 12 or whatever.
He probably would have. But what do we have now? We have a guy who is a moral dwarf. And that is never, he doesn't get to come back from this one. It just doesn't work that way. You know, once you say, I'll give up anything I believe to hold on to power, you're probably going to actually lose power at that point.
That's exactly what happens. So before I let you get up out of here, I want to get your a couple of things. Two, first, I've been thinking through and smart people this question, and you're one of the smart ones. I'd like to get your take on it. On the other side of all of this, let's say, okay, we survived the constitutional bullshit of Lindsey Graham trying to give Donald Trump a third term.
Right.
And we have this new landscape, open race 28. A sane Republican somewhere running from the fringes, the MAGA J.D. Vance fight inside the GOP.
Yeah.
You still are left with, the remnants of what Trump and Elon have done. How do we recover? How do we begin to, because these institutions that have now just summarily been dismantled.
Yeah. How
does this come back? I mean,
I think you and I both agree on this point. We need two functioning political parties in this country.
Yeah,
the Democrats left to their own devices are Democrats, and they don't always operate from a position that is either wise or appropriately constrained. And I say that because their ambition some of the time exceeds America's political tolerance.
Yeah.
And they have a harder time selling people on things. They're like, well, why don't people love everything we're doing? Well, because they don't love everything you're doing. That's and that's true. Just a, that comes down to this is a basic kind of like basic bitch facts sometimes hurt. But we need two functioning political parties because they improve one another. The founders knew we would have factions and dynamic pressures back and forth between parties and between interests and individuals. And we need that.
Yeah.
We ought to have that. But right now, we have one political party that functions magnificently as a political party, and we have one governing party that can't win an election for its fucking life.
Yeah.
Guess who that is, Democrats? and I think we are really at a point where we need to we need to have, you know, very real talk with our Democratic friends and allies and let them know that, you know, we're not making these critiques of them because we're mean conservatives. We're making these critiques because if we don't have two functioning political parties in this country, then the Republican Party is going to absolutely dominate them electorally because it's what they do.
Right. Right. That is so true.
It's what they do, and they're fucking good at it. And everybody should just like not like roll your eyes or pinch yourself. You should just recognize, respect the game. They're good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get good at it. That is so true.